Monster Movie Media presents.
Welcome to Creepy Kingdom, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II, and welcome to day 10 of the 31 creepy days of Halloween. Hashtag creepy days. And I have to say, so far, creepy days has been a really awesome, amazing experience for me, hopefully for you guys as well. I've talked to some great people, have some great conversations, and some amazing guest hosts have put together some great shows for you guys. This is it's been so much fun, and we're not even halfway done. Nope, there's a lot more creepy fun coming your way. A few weeks ago, I had a whirlwind trip to Walt Disney World. If you follow along at home on the social media, you probably saw a lot of random pictures and things going on. Well, I decided to have Miss Roxy Tart come back on the show and talk about all the things that I did. So, let's begin. Hello, everyone. I am here once again with Miss Roxy Tart.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. And it's funny because you're back on the show so fast from your last appearance, about a week apart. And normally it would be like, wow, two back-to-back episodes. But we have had seven episodes between us.
There's a lot of stuff packed into this month. Yeah. It's a busy, busy month in the Creepy Kingdom.
Yeah, so it's not really like you're back next week. I mean, it's literally a week, but, you know, in podcast land, that's like 3 months, so.
I'm happy to be back. I like it here.
Oh, well, thanks for coming back to town. Kingdom, or whatever we call it. So, I asked you back on. It's like I have to give a reason, but just because. Why not? Because
I'm awesome.
Because you're awesome. So you're here because you're awesome. And I'm going to be sharing a trip report. I recently went to Orlando and visited Walt Disney World and Universal Orlando. And it was a whirlwind of excitement and fun.
Which is awesome. I followed your adventures on Instagram.
I was about to say, yes. Well, you could have followed along at home. But I have purposely not discussed too many details of the trip with Roxy because I wanted to do this trip report podcast with her.
I feel that it's important to know. You know, obviously from listening, people can tell that, you know, we like each other and we're friends and whatnot. But right. James refuses to talk about his trip with me because... He wanted all the information to be new and surprising on the show, which on one hand is really cool, and on the other hand, I haven't gotten to hear about the trip yet. So this is for you, listeners. I am suffering for you.
Suffering. You did get some on-the-scene reports as I texted you a few times throughout the trip.
I did. I got some killer text messages.
Yeah, they were killer. But so a lot of this is going to be new. Before I really get into it, I will say I'm going to kind of skim over some of the things on here because I have dedicated entire episodes to the topics I'll be skimming over. And I'm trying to think, at this point, none of them have been released, so they're coming. I have an entire episode about Halloween Horror Nights that I have nice. Recorded, so that'll be coming. I have an entire episode about my review of the Diagon Alley section of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter at Universal.
Which is just full of excitement, I'm sure.
Yes. It's jam-packed. I was just telling Roxy, I think that was probably one of the most excited I've ever been recording an episode of Creepy Kingdom. All this, because I never talk about Universal or Harry Potter stuff.
No, anyone listens to my show when you've been on or has listened to your personal show, I'm sure knows that you are a huge Harry Potter fan.
I am, yes, and it was suppressed to keep all this in, and I just kind of went off, and and I was talking with your BFF, Cupcake Terror, and she was just right there with me, so we were feeding off of the excitement of Harry Potter. So there's a little tease for that one coming up.
Yay!
So I guess I'll just start at the beginning here. There's a lot of things that happened that were planned. That I could give you a teaser for, but I'm just gonna let's just go through it, man.
Okay.
Piece by piece. So I got into town on Thursday, September 25th. I drove to Orlando from New Jersey. I took 2 days down.
How long is the trip? I mean, if you were just to drive,
with no stops, it's 16 hours.
Okay, because I drove from California to Disney World to Orlando, mm-hmm. And it took us 3 days.
Wow, that's pretty good time. You really didn't stop.
No. I mean, we stopped to sleep. When the sun would start to come up, we would stop and get a hotel room, and we'd sleep until, 1 or 2, and then we'd get back on the road. So you made some really cool stops, right? You had to.
Yeah. No, I'm really into road trips and seeing different cities and stuff, and I didn't spend as much time as I wanted to, but I stopped at some cool places along the way and back. For example, on the way back, I visited a friend in Charleston, South Carolina. We went on a ghost tour there. That was pretty cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. Of course, I had to make a stop at South of the Border. And people that travel down Route 95 are well familiar with that. It's just south of the North Carolina border.
I've heard of South of the Border, actually. I've never been there, but I have heard of it.
Yeah, it's just a super tacky, sort of rest stop. This is a little amusement park. They have hotels, places to eat, but it is and there's all these tacky signs leading up to it. It's almost 100 miles, get ready kids, it almost seems fake, everything about it. So and I posted pictures of myself with some dinosaurs there. Some ceramic dinosaurs out there. So yeah, I didn't spend too much time doing that kind of stuff, but I had to throw a little bit of that in there because I do like going on little road trips and exploring offbeat attractions and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when I came to Orlando, it was all business. It was just theme parks. I didn't do much exploring out of that.
All Disney. Yeah. And Universal. But,
yeah, it wasn't all Disney. It was all theme parks. My time was split, I would say, pretty fairly between Universal and Walt Disney World. So I can't say it was one over the other. But I get into town in the afternoon. I dropped my stuff off at where I was staying, and I immediately drove to Universal because
waste no time.
I really didn't at all. I was super excited to go, and again, I'm not going to get into all the details of that because I'm doing other shows. But that night, I had a ticket to go to Halloween Horror Nights, which is a separate hard ticket event that starts at 6:30 until midnight, I was already going there for that, and the strongest reason that I took this trip that I was dying to go back to Orlando was I was dying to go to Diagon Alley and ride the new Harry Potter ride, Harry Potter Escape from Gringotts, and so that was pretty much my number one priority. I went there. I went straight to Universal. I got into the park at 4:00. And I went straight to Diagon Alley, went straight to Gringotts. It stood an hour long.
You had a plan.
Yeah. It was one of the – it's safe to say, too, I was alone during this trip. It was a solo trip. So I had my – no one to compromise and work out plans with or nothing. It was all what I wanted to do when I felt like it,
Sometimes it's really nice, though. I mean, I love going to the parks with my friends, but sometimes it's really nice just to not have to discuss what you're going to do.
No, it's just of course you could split up from your friends too, but
Totally.
There was no discussions. It was like, this is what I'm doing. I'm not going to talk about the ride or what I thought about it because that I already did on their show and or future show for you. And then Halloween Horror Night started shortly after that, and then I experienced all that, and I talked about that on other show as well. So everyone's like, so far you've told me nothing, James.
Right? Nothing. But the important thing is that you loved it, right?
Yes.
You loved Diagon Alley, and you loved the Halloween Horror Nights, and you had a good time.
Oh, yeah. I was through the roof through these events.
I can just see you. I can picture you just standing in Universal Studios, all starstruck, like big eyes looking everywhere. Oh.
Yeah, it was it was kind of like that. So, yeah, that was my first night there. So, you know, I... So let's go to my next day. This is Friday, September 26th. My agenda this day was to meet up with fellow podcaster and frequent contributor of Creepy Kingdom, Annie, from Annie and Danny's Fast Pass podcast. We were going,
which I still love their name. Like, I love any name that's really difficult to say, and you have to say it really fast, right. And I think that's awesome. Yeah.
I've got it down. I can say it like I've said it so many times. And we had plans of, you know, hanging out and recording some things for the show in the parks. And then that night we had a joint meetup of our listeners planned. So we just had a full days of activity with us there. So, I didn't make rope drop. So we're starting a Magic Kingdom. I didn't make rope drop. It was quite a late night for me. So I didn't make it, but I got there about 10:45 a.m. Annie was somewhere else. I didn't meet up with her for a little while. Actually, I didn't meet up with her till around noon almost. So I was just kind of navigating on my own. I have my rituals that I need to do. The first thing I do when I go to Walt Disney World. It's impossible not to start at Magic Kingdom. I know some people may or may not do that, but obviously I got to start at Magic Kingdom, and I got to end at Magic Kingdom too. I don't know. Anyway, so and with that, the first thing I have to do is go on Haunted Mansion. That is how that's how things start for me. So
of course, that's how things start for you.
Yes, I mean, what a shocker.
I know. I am shocked. That is, your first ride isn't Small World? Like, I don't even know what to say to that.
Well, that one's coming up, but it was it started that off, did Haunted Mansion, and then went straight to Aloha Isle in Adventureland and got my Dole Whip.
Nice.
The Dole Whip that I had been craving since last May. It's May 2013.
Okay, I was there. So I have to ask, mm-hmm. Pineapple or orange?
Pineapple.
Okay. Come on. Well, you know, everyone loves the Pineapple Dole Whip. It is the original. But the fact that you can get the orange ones in Disney World, and that's the only place you can get it, like... I have to have both.
I've never even entertained the idea of not getting pineapple to it.
No, I have to have both. I have to do both, you know, because I'm over here for those listening that don't know, I am over here on the, you know, West Coast by Disneyland. We do not have the option of orange. So it's like special.
I didn't even know it was special. So, I mean, I would try a bite of someone else's, but...
I'll buy one, and right, you can have some of mine.
I'll try some of yours. All right, and then I'll...
we'll share it. All Lady and the Tramp style.
What would be the spaghetti?
I don't know at all in any way, shape, or form. No, we will not be rubbing our noses in Dole Whip. That's such a bad idea.
Wow. Show has already started off messy.
That would mess up my makeup. That's not okay. That's why I never make rope drop. It takes me an hour before I go into the park to do my makeup. It's not happening.
All right. No, I enjoyed my Dole Whip.
Good.
Eventually met up with Annie and pretty much, you know, navigated the rest of my park day with her. And instead we recorded a whole bunch of fun stuff along the way.
Right on.
And the first ride that we rode together was It's a Small World.
Look at that.
As I was saying, oh, you're trying to be sarcastic about it, but that was the second ride. So, and I actually love going on this ride, and we recorded like on ride audio and commentary that will be released at some point.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that. I actually really like Small World too. So I try to go on it every trip. It's nice and relaxing. And
yeah, I do. I do find it relaxing, and I unironically like the vibe of it. You know, it doesn't annoy me. It's a good time. I don't know what else to say. I mean, again, I talk all about it on the recording, but
I totally agree though. I don't get annoyed by Small World at all. I sing along. I have words made up. That I've rewritten the song. I have my own little version. I like that ride. It's cool. It's long. It's, you know, I like it.
Well, the funny thing that happens though at the end is that we're about maybe four cars from like getting off, and we got stuck for we don't know how long it was. We lost track of time, but it seemed like it was like 15 or 20 minutes. But we were like right at the end of the last room. So with the goodbye room, with all the goodbye in different languages, and and so we could still hear the song, but we weren't like in the middle of it for that long, and we couldn't even see what was holding up the line. It was really weird,
crazy.
You know.
Okay, so not to get like too off topic from your trip, but I have to know, if you were to get stuck on Small World, and you could choose where you got stuck, where would it be?
You know, I like the room that has all the balloons. Is that the room where it's like a whole bunch of countries in once?
The end.
Yeah. I think that's probably my favorite room. Yeah.
Yep, me too, where everything's white.
Yeah.
Yep, I love that one.
It's
that's
a white and blue.
One.
And If I had to. Other than that, it might be the Polynesian one that because they take a break from the vocals, and it's a nice soothing break from the singing.
Yes. when you get here and we go to Disneyland, Cupcake Terror and I will show you our Small World Polynesian dance on the ride.
Wow.
Oh yeah,
that's worth the trip itself.
we got little dance moves that go on in that room. It's fabulous. You can see us hula dance in our seats.
That'll be worth the trip itself. we spent a little time in Fantasyland. From there, we hopped over to Under the Sea, Journey of the Little Mermaid, mm-hmm. which, of course, is the same ride with a different name in DCA. I don't know what it's called there, but you get the gist.
It's Journey of the Little Mermaid.
Okay. No, it's is that what it's called? You sure?
Yeah.
This one's Under the Sea, Journey of the Little Mermaid. I think it's called something else. You sure?
We don't have Under the Sea. That's not part of ours.
Okay.
But
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's Journey of the Little Mermaid. I think it is.
As I'm sitting here, I'm like, this is so not important to the story.
Now you have me doubting myself. Hey, Disney trivia is always important.
I know. I was just saying, like, it's not important to my trip report. Is what I mean.
No, it's not at all. Okay, so you went on the Little Mermaid, which is fabulous.
Yeah, which is, you know, it was not my first time riding that. That was open last time I went. Recorded for that one too. So that was, it's always fun seeing the amazing Ursula animatronic.
Yeah, I love her.
So that was pretty sweet. In fact, you sent in a recording from seeing Ursula at DC.
I did, for the Creepy Kingdom listeners.
Yep. So that really happened. And then after that, we went on what is one of my favorite Magic Kingdom Fantasyland rides. I say that because Disneyland's Fantasyland is just jam-packed with rides that I love that are not at Magic Kingdom, so I had to be specific. which is always surprising to people when I say this, and I actually talked about this on my recent appearance on Disney Dream Girls podcast, where they asked me to list things I thought were creepy in Walt Disney World. And this attraction is The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Interesting.
I love this ride so much because it is so surprisingly creepy. You think of Winnie the Pooh, you think it's all this friendship and love and lighthearted goodness.
Oh.
Maybe you don't, I don't know. But most people do.
And I, yeah, no, it's so, I love it so much. It's just like you start the ride in a hurricane and it looks like Pooh dies, but he's on a honey trip and then he hallucinates and then they try to drown you at the end. I mean, that's the ride. I mean, I don't know what other ride. And then Tigger throws you around, you know, like, it's just like.
I know our ride over here differs a little from your ride over there.
I thought it was the same thing.
I don't think so. I think it's a little bit different because that it rains on ours, but that doesn't sound quite the same. Do you have a birthday party?
What?
See, it's different. Ours starts and there's a little storm and then it rains.
Okay.
And then Pooh goes on his honey trip and, you know, hallucinates.
Right.
But then everything gets fine and it ends with a big happy birthday party for Winnie the Pooh.
Well, yeah, there's a party at the end of this one. Yeah, I just skipped over that because that's not creepy.
That part's not creepy at all. The Heffalumps and Woozles are creepy.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, the first time I went on that ride, I was just expecting it to be pretty lighthearted. That's pretty much what it was. It was just like, whatever, I'll go on it, who cares? And I was just like, whoa, man, this is really weird. And especially the Humphalumpaloozle, like, honey trip part. Like, that was just so unexpected.
I don't want them coming after me. I don't want them in my dreams. I don't. No, I don't like Pooh's trip. It's crazy.
Yeah, she tripped out pretty hard there, man. I don't know. he was wild. Oh, boy. So moving on from that, we hit up Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin, which is I would love that ride. But even though it's, you know, it's still kind of like a one dimensional mostly kind of thing. I love that ride because I love the fact that I control, you know, the direction that you're in when you're in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's amazing. In fact, I've never ridden that ride where I wasn't in control of the thing. So I guess because every time I take the stair,
I'm always in control of which way the car goes. But that's because I don't shoot.
You don't shoot.
I'm really bad at it.
Well, practice makes perfect. What are you just gonna say?
I am so bad at Buzz Lightyear. Maybe a listener will be listening and take pity on me and ride the ride with me and teach me how to play it, because I am so bad that eventually I just give up and start trying to mess up the other person in the car.
Oh, so you're
by spinning them around.
Oh boy. Well, I'm trying to think. I was playing against Annie, obviously, and she just obliterated me. I thought I was pretty good. Last time I played the game, I maxed out the score, but that was some fluke where I hit something I didn't realize.
You hit the special one in between Zerg's chest plate.
Right, yeah, that's what I mean. I hit that last time I was there.
Nice.
But I was not playing against anyone the last time I was on by myself, so I maxed out the score and it didn't beat anyone. But Annie just killed me. I had no chance. She was too good. So
that's awesome.
So I never posted that score because I was I was really eager to brag about how good I am and post how she lost, but she beat me. So no one will ever know the actual score. But it was by a lot. She beat me. So.
Nice, girl power.
Yeah, girl power. Yeah. Anyways. Whatever. I had lunch after that. Went to Pecos Bill's. Had a burger, which I gotta love that burger fixins bar. I love a good fixins bar. But we did that, and then we hopped on over to Disney's Hollywood Studios.
No, this was Dapper Day, right?
No, this was not Dapper Day. I would have said if it was Dapper Day.
It wasn't still Friday?
Dapper Day was on Saturday.
Oh, was it? Oh, neat. Ours is always on Friday. How weird.
Yeah, no, it was on Saturday.
Neat.
We had a few things we wanted to do over there. I wanted to hop on Star Tours. The adventures continue. I have, before this trip, I'd only gone to 5 of the 9 planets. So, and you're like, does that even mean anything to you? Have you even been on the new Star Tours? I know you haven't watched Star Wars. I know that.
I have not been on the new Star Tours, which now I'm going to get, like, hate mail. But, no, I get really, really sick on those kind of rides. Like, really bad.
Okay, I will say to you and anyone else that is hesitant to ride the new Star Tours, it is way smoother than the original Star Tours.
Is it?
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to say it's like, you know, maybe you won't get sick. I don't know. I'm just saying that it is way smoother than the original one. The other one was really bad for motion sickness, and this one was not like that.
Well, it might be worth giving it a shot then, but no, I'm really bad. No. So now you're telling me you've gone to all the planets. I know about the ride. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, because it's when you try to go to two different locations. And I wrote it, and even my last trip, I wrote it several times and got the same places. I feel like I did, because this trip I wrote it twice, and I never seen any of the places before I went to. So I think there might have been one. I think there's still have one left. I'm not that into it that I know exactly where I've been and remember. Mm-hmm. I just know that I didn't see everything. I feel like there's one more planet to see. But I did see two new ones in this trip, and that was fun.
Have you ever been the Rebel Spy?
I was, and that was on Saturday. That was the first time I was a Rebel Spy, yeah.
Ooh.
and in case people don't know what that is now the whole plot line is that you know, Darth Vader's crew is looking for a rebel spy in the Star Tours planes or ships or whatever called. I don't know. Not planes. Spacecrafts. I don't know. And so they're trying to get you, but then you go away and you go to different planets, blah, blah. But when Darth Vader first approaches, it is like, we see you have this rebel spy on board, and then this randomly shoots someone and they took a picture of them, and then it comes up on the screen. And it's usually a really awkward, you know, wasn't paying attention picture. Like, it's not like some sweet picture of you. You know, like, it's like, oh, that's usually the look on your face. Like, as though you were about to, like, you know, just out of the picture was like a huge spoon full of ice cream that you're about to scoop in your mouth or something.
So it's a dirt face picture.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, we'll be honest here.
Right. But, yeah, so I'll get to that experience when I get to it tomorrow. But, I mean, there's not much more to it. I wasn't alone on that one either, so it was fun that someone got to see it. But, yeah, we went to that and then went by Muppets, which I didn't get to do last time. And, you know, it is a pretty dated attraction for sure, the Muppets Vision 3D, but got to pay respect. I, you know, I just always love the Muppets. Muppets are deep in my heart, even before they were part of the Disney family. And so, you know, just got to get some FaceTime in there and see everyone. Say hello.
Hollywood Studios, which I try really hard to call it that, but I still call it MGM Studios all the time. It actually has three of my favorite rides. So I love spending time there. I know that there are people that are like, it's too small, we don't want to go there, but I love spending time in that park.
I'm going to put something out there that is probably controversial.
Mm-hmm.
To a lot of Disney fans, but I would say that Hollywood Studios is my second favorite park at Walt Disney World, so that's how I feel.
I agree.
So that's just me, you know. So
we can be controversial together. All right, because I love that park.
And even though doesn't have that much there, the things that are there are things that I love. So it's really what it's more about that.
Yeah. You know? There's rides that I absolutely have to go on every time. It has three of my favorite restaurants on Disney property. Like, I love that park.
And plus, of course, their Main Street-esque area is really awesome, which is
their street actors.
Yeah, the Streetmosphere.
It's
1930s Hollywood is the theme, and oh, they're great. In fact, I had some conversations with a few of that on Dapper Day, and I mean, I forget what it was. We were talking about it was so hot this whole trip. It was miserable, and we were talking about something. And we were saying something about how hot it was, and someone said something about Florida weather, And one of the street actors was like, oh, wow, I've never been there before. I've never left Hollywood.
And that's just awesome.
Like, yeah, I'm like, right on.
I was offered a movie contract.
Right on the
spot. That street.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. Wow. I was mistaken for a movie star, and I was offered a movie contract, and I was asked to join the, God, what was it? There was like a troupe performing, and they asked if I wanted to join. It was awesome. I loved it. This is not all on the same day, obviously.
I was like, what a day this was.
No. It was all on different days, but I love it there. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, but we were just doing a little pit stop because we had to end up at Epcot because of plans that we had. But the one thing that we did do that day, it was the second to last day of its existence because it closed on Saturday, is that we went on the Studio Backlot Tour, which is a ripoff of the real studio tram tour at Universal Studios Hollywood.
Yes, it is.
And this is a make-pretend studio tour because there's no studio there. I mean, when it first opened, it was sort of a studio, so that's why they were doing it. But there's been no productions there in many years. So, and it's been a very boring, miserable thing that everyone was wondering, like, why is that still open? And that question doesn't need to be answered anymore because it closed on September 27th. The only,
yes, it did.
Only really cool thing about it is the part is Catastrophe Canyon, where the tram rolls up in front of a canyon where explosions and fire start happening, and then all this water rolls down on top of you.
Well, and you also get to see Walt's plane.
Yes. Right? Yes, that plane.
That was part of
there.
It. You mm-hmm. can see the plane, and I really liked that. And then there's a part where you go through, or at least you used to, the, well, I guess all of it's used to now, but like a costume.
Yes, I mean, that's pretty much what it is. You go through the costuming department, yeah. Which really is the costuming department for the resort.
Yeah, I could stay there for hours.
Well, you know, that's where you and I are going to differ there. As exciting as it is seeing bored people annoyed that people are staring at them sewing. You know, I mean, you see that once and I got it, you know. I'm like, there they are.
You remember my friend Joe Bagel mm-hmm. from one of my podcasts, Roxy's World, that we did. I actually have a photo of Joe sleeping on that ride. He sat on the, you know, the side closest to the outside.
Yeah.
And just fell asleep up against the side of the railing.
Well, hopefully he woke up before they lifted that outfit.
I actually, okay, technically I have a collection of Joe sleeping at Disneyland photos. So, but that is one of the rides that he did fall asleep on.
That's funny.
Yes, it's awesome.
Well, it's the funniest part about this whole time. I'm like, I was thinking that the day we're on it was the last day. So I was like, oh, I've hopped up. I'm like, I even wrote on, you know, social media, last day, right on. We're, you know. and then eventually Annie's like, it closes tomorrow. And I'm just like, oh, well, that's not as exciting. Oh, well.
Right? Hey, at least you got to ride it before it closed.
Yeah, at least I'm like, yep. There it is, exactly how I thought it was going to be. In fact, the only thing that was different was that at the beginning of the tour, they have kind of this audience participation part where they reenact scenes from Pearl Harbor, the film.
Yeah.
And yeah. they didn't have anyone from the audience go through. It was hilarious. And they just were like, so imagine that there was an actor right there. What would happen is this. And then they did the explosion in the bar like that.
I don't get it. Why didn't they have anyone from the audience?
They
do
just
it?
So were checked out on this attraction.
Oh my God.
They didn't even bother.
Wow.
I don't know who made that call or not, but they're just like, don't even do that, dude. Let's
I don't
just
know,
hurry
but
this
Walt
up.
Walt would not be happy with them.
Yeah, I don't think Walt would have been happy with the fake Studio Backlot tour either, but.
That's a good point.
But, you know, we don't do the what would Walt say on Creepy Kingdom, you know. I gotta put my foot down on that one right away. So we don't play that game here. So
But anyway. It's a dangerous game to play.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. So that's all. Just trying to keep things level-headed and fair. So anyways, we got out of there. We headed over to Epcot. Food and Wine Festival was going on there.
Oh, yum.
Which, you know, I was like, everything smelled so good. You know, it's like, oh, I gotta try a little of this, you know. Not gonna have too much, you know. Who knows what I'm gonna do? I don't know. I did end up, there was a Polish stand that had kielbasa and pierogies, which I love. So I was like, oh, yeah, let me get some of that. And then, you know, stand in line, I get it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's gonna be delicious. And I'm not gonna need to eat anything else after that, because I'm gonna eat a whole kielbasa and some pierogies. And then it's like, you know, the reality of where I am, you know, set in once again. The fact that this fourth of a kielbasa slices two pierogi that I paid $6 for.
Yes, the magic of Disney food is that you always want more.
Dude, that was a joke. I'm sorry, man. They could have come a little more with that. I was just like, so I pretty much tapped out of Food and Wine after that. I really was like, you know, like, I need to eat. Like, when I'm hungry, I need to eat. I can't pay like almost $10 for these little bites to eat. You know, like, I'm just not going to participate. I might have had something else. I'm sure I had little things along the way, but you know, I think the next day I had Korean hot dog or something like that, which was like, it wasn't even a whole hot dog, it was a half hot dog.
So where did you end up eating at Epcot? Because, you know, that's my favorite part of Epcot is the food, so I have to know where you ate.
I didn't eat there. I just had that there.
Okay.
We had a few hours until our meetup, very few hours. In fact, I think by the time we got to Epcot, it was 6. Our meetup was at 8. Our meetup was at the Cruise Cup Lounge, which is at the Yacht Club Resort, which is off of, you know, the boardwalk area, mm-hmm. which is, of course, walking distance to Epcot because it's connected to it. So that was kind of why we ended up there, since we could, you know, easily go back to, you know, to where we had to go. We initially were trying to get on Maelstrom that day and record, you know, on-ride audio for it.
Mm-hmm.
But with the reports of the closure, Maelstrom has become the most beloved, cherished, in-demand attraction until it closed a few days ago. Like,
I'm sorry. I'm going to make some Disney enemies for saying this, but that is bull pucky. Okay? That is bull. Everyone that is posting about how much they love Maelstrom, please tell me the last time you actually went on that ride. For any reason other than to escape the heat and because it had no line.
I mean, Maelstrom is a ride, and not to rant about it, is a ride that you're like, I'm here, it's there, let's go right in there.
It's hot.
It's not let's something go. That you're like, I'm going to get to Epcot and I'm going to go straight to Maelstrom.
No, dude, it's not Everest.
So whatever, but the point being was that I guess I'll talk a little more about Maelstrom when I actually got to ride it, but the lines were just way too long the whole time. Oh, I would like to point this out now. I'd like to get this out on the table. It just reminded me of it, actually, trying to deal with wait times and queues and all this stuff. I'm just going to officially put this out on record now that I have officially experienced it and say, I hate FastPass Plus. FastPass Plus is a bunch of crap. Everything about it is just the opposite of how I want to navigate the parks. It has not worked for me at all. I know there's some people that it works for, and I'm really happy for you. Annie loved FastPass Plus so much, and even time I would complain about it, she was like, you don't know how to use it. You don't know what you're doing. I'm like, I don't want to decide what I'm going to be doing months in advance every second of my day. I don't want to do it.
That is the biggest complaint.
The paper FastPass system works for me. It's like, oh, I'm in this park. Let's see. There's a FastPass for Splash Mountain. Oh, there's one for in 4 hours. Cool. I can deal with 4 hours of planning. I'm not planning months in advance. Especially on the times I was navigating the parks with someone else. I mean, who knows what fast passes they had or where they were going to be or even what they wanted to do. Like, it's so ridiculous. It is horrible. And I hate it. I refuse to participate in it. I never said any, because every time I'm like, let me just try to find one. Anything I wanted a fast pass for was booked out months ago. You know, like,
I, like you, am going to reserve judgment until I actually try it.
Right.
You know, I am. But I'm just not sure. Because on one hand, I agree. I want to get my fast pass that day. I want to walk into the park and be like, let's go fast pass Space Mountain right now. And then we'll do the rest of our day and come back.
Right.
You know, cool. But on the other hand, when we go to Disney World, because, you know, we live over here, we do plan out our days. Because, like I have mentioned, I love food. And we are real big on the sit-down restaurants in Disney World. So we plan which park we're going to be to on which day, depending on what time our reservation is for at certain restaurants.
Right, and I never sit ADR. So that's, again, that's right? So that's like, that's so, how it doesn't work for me. But I could see how you could sort of do that when you're setting ADRs. You know?
Yeah, I feel like I could do it because I'm gonna, you know, I know I'm gonna be in Magic Kingdom at this day at this time because I'm eating at Cinderella's Royal Table. So therefore, I could fast pass this ride at this time. Like I can see how it would work. But only if you are a planner.
I mean, the funny thing is, I am a planner. I am. I plan a lot. But when I get into the parks, I need to kind of let that go a little bit and just go with the flow. You know, like, I don't want to do that kind of commitment. Of course, you could just, like, not do the fast pass or whatever and whatever. But then you can't book any more until that time passes.
Mm-hmm.
And it just it doesn't work for me. It really, really doesn't. And I don't like it. And I know it's not going away, but it's one of those things that is going to keep me wanting to go to Disneyland more than Disney World. I mean, there's several reasons, but that is a big one for sure. I just want to put that one out on the table. I'm not a fan of FastPass Plus. I am never wearing a magic band. I don't wear anything on my wrist, let alone my personal information, and I'm just not interested in it at all. So.
Okay, so I have to ask, and I know it's off your trip topic, but I need to know your opinion, and I feel that the listeners do too.
Okay.
Did you hear the other day about Toy Story Midway Mania?
Yes, that. I don't want to use profanity on the show.
You could only get on it if you...
There's rumors they're doing that, so they're testing adding a third track that would be Fast Plus only, because that ride always has such a long wait in Hollywood Studios. I heard the line is not as bad in DCA, but it's really long ride because it's one of the few things that is all heights in Hollywood Studios, so it always has a long line. But yeah, no. I mean, actually, I didn't get to ride that ride while I was there because it was always a long wait, and I never could get a fast pass. So I actually didn't even ride it my last trip, and that would have just added fuel to the fire if that happened while I was there. Like,
it's actually on my list of my favorite rides in that park.
I enjoy it for sure. I wanted to, but I mean, I could tell you something else too. I've learned to realize, which is that my patience for waiting in line is like gone way down, and I feel like my limit is about 45 minutes.
Oh, your limit's better than mine.
Well, that's good. I'm glad.
I'm not even kidding. Mine is 15.
15,
and
wow.
Pushing it at 30, depending on the ride.
I would say 30 is really my limit. I was willing to wait 45 minutes to go on Gringotts. Because that was the first time, you know, the Universal, and I was willing to wait 45 minutes to go on Maelstrom since it was closing.
Well, but, yeah, and there are definite exceptions. But for the most part, and of course, it's different when I go to Disney World on the rides that I don't get to ride all the time. But at my home park, you know, if the line for the Jungle Cruise is longer than 15 minutes, I'm going to go do something else and come back later.
Yeah, I mean, if you go, I guess your willingness to wait is how often you get to go, really, is what it comes down to. But even that being said, I don't know, FastPass really worked for me, man. I, the paper one, I really didn't have a problem with it. You know, it always worked out, and But this is just, I mean, I know there's a lot of people that don't like FastPass at all. It's, you know, and that's fine. You know, I hear that. I understand their arguments, but that's just what I prefer. And I don't know. I don't like the direction all this stuff is going over Walt Disney World with this. I really am not into it.
Well, that's okay. You can come over here when we still have paper.
For now.
For now. I thought, it's funny, the first time I ever saw FastPass, I was at Disneyland Paris. And I thought that it was just a Euro Disney thing.
Huh.
And I was really surprised when I got home and went to Disneyland and they had it. I was like, oh my goodness. What is this? We got this from Paris? Yeah. People are looking at me like, what?
Well, that's my FastPass rant. That's what I have to say now that I've experienced. I don't like to comment on things I haven't experienced. And I, you know.
Totally.
You know, I experienced it. I don't like it. Not into it. Anyways, so Epcot. Before we got out of there, we did do the Grand Fiesta Tour. Now, this is an attraction that Annie had been there for 4 days or 5 days at this point. That was my first day at Walt Disney World. So she said that she had gone this ride like 8 times. It's one of her favorite things to do. And so it was a lot of fun. We recorded for that as well. And just had a lot of fun on there, you know.
Nice.
And whatever. I know it's one of those rides. Some people don't like the Three Caballeros are in it, but I like it.
So. I feel about it kind of the same way I feel about Maelstrom. You know, the line is short, it's a ride, and it's there, and it's cool. Let's go on it.
Yeah, I feel like it's slightly more enjoyable than Maelstrom, but you know. I'm not saying Maelstrom is not enjoyable or entertaining. I'm just saying I think I like this one a little more. But, you know, whatever.
Right on.
Anyways, let's get to the meetup here.
Yes. Over on my favorite hotel side.
Yes. We're at the Yacht Club at the Cruise Cup Lounge. And it was pretty cool. It, you know, it was an intimate gathering.
You know, how many people?
Exact number. It wasn't a lot of people, mostly because you got to consider the odds that a listener was going to be there at that same time. It was, you know, pretty slim. You know, like it was just
totally.
It was more. Good.
I was going to say it's nice when it's kind of small though, because you can actually talk and get to know people.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like,
well, who was in attendance was. Philip Swift was filming for Dark Side of Disney documentary, which I'll certainly get into that a little bit later because we filmed some stuff for it the next day.
I love Phil. Yep. Philip's amazing.
He had his crew with him, Zach and Joe.
Cool.
And he had a young man who I had met for the first time who is going to be in the documentary as well. He goes by the code name That Raptor. He has a code name for various reasons. So
right on.
So yeah, he was there, and a Creepy Kingdom listener. If I'm pretty sure he's a listener. If he's not a listener, he's definitely a follower on social media. His name is John Hopkins. He was there. He had to go. He lived in Tampa, but he had to go somewhere else. But Orlando was on the way, so he stopped just to go to the meetup, so I thought that was cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, he hung out for a little bit. And, yeah, and then myself and Annie were there, so God, I hope I'm not forgetting anyone. but we had, I mean, as I said, we had some drinks, we had some delicious fries that they had there. And we hung out there, and it was a fun time, you know? And that was on for a few hours. After that, Annie and I went to a club on the boardwalk called the Atlantic Dance Hall. You there?
That place is popping.
Popping? Yes.
I really hope everyone can sense the sarcasm.
Well, funny enough about it, Annie said she had gone there several nights that week, and when that night we were there, you know, it was probably 10. 12, 15 people.
You went on a good night.
Yeah. And that's what she said because when I was talking about it later, I was like, man, nobody was there. She was like, that was a hopping night for them.
Yeah. That was so. When we go, my favorite hotel is the Beach Club. Well, I should say my favorite hotel in the Epcot Resort area is the Beach Club, and we tend to stay in the Epcot Resort area: Beach Club, Yacht Club, Boardwalk. You know, so I have been to that dance numerous times. I walked in there once. I was the only one there.
Well, yeah, I mean, that she said to most nights it was one or two people there. She haven't, Annie actually even put a video on her Instagram of the dance floor completely empty except somebody sweeping up something, like a crew member.
Wow.
But the thing about it, I mean, we just went there to have some drinks, but they play all these, like, corny 90s songs that are just so bad they're good kind of thing, like dance, you know, songs and... it was a fun place to hang out, you know.
It is. If you've got a group of friends and you go in there and you basically just take over the place,
yeah,
that's cool. Like, that's awesome. You know, I can't count the number of times I have heard Ice Ice Baby played in there.
Right. I don't think we heard that one, but almost everything but that. I mean, we can move on from this because we're running long. I just want we could do a whole podcast on like dance all.
We could. That's what we need. We'll get people to call in.
Yeah, we'll do it. The creepiness of the Atlantic dance hall. All right, now day was over. Let's go to my next day. This is Saturday, the 27th. I was jam packed with activities that I lined up. I had I was being interviewed for the Disney Dreamgirls podcast that day, and we were going to do the interview while I was in the park. So that was an exciting thing to do. I was also going to be interviewed for the Dark Side of Disney documentary that day. And, as forementioned, it was Dapper Day at Hollywood Studios that day. So I was really excited to go there and, see everyone in their best. And, you know, and in case, just a brief thing, if you don't know what Dapper Day is when people come to the park dressed in, 50s attire. No.
It's any from any decade.
Oh, it's any decade. Oh, I thought it was 50s.
No. It's not specifically 50s. They didn't want to pigeonhole it like that. It's any decade, but it's come in your Sunday best.
Okay.
It's get dressed up and go to the park in the spirit of the 1950s when the park first opened.
Right, when people went to the park dressed that way. I mean, yes. I guess that was the connection I was making in my head.
Yeah, and most people go kind of 50s and very vintage, but you can do anything from Victorian to contemporary. The point is just to get dressed up and look good.
Okay. And this is the type of event, the type of unofficial fan event that take place very often in Disneyland, but these things don't really happen in Disney World very in fact, I didn't even know it was happening until the night before when I was talking to that raptor. It's funny calling that
wow,
raptor.
Wow, really?
And I didn't even know about it at all. And he was participating in it, and so he was talking about going to it, and I was like, oh, wow. Interesting. I'm like, cool. Well, I'll definitely want to go there and see everyone's outfits, because even though, I've talked about this many times, maybe on your show, maybe on this one, I don't know. I love when people get dressed up. I love cosplayers. I love all that stuff. I usually don't participate, I just, for various reasons, lazy.
Yes. We went over the fact that if you had a Disney social club, your uniform would be a hoodie.
Right. Which I stand by my hoodies, but it's the modern day security blanket. But, Linus is blanket. Anyways, so I went there and I ended up meeting up with that raptor and Philip and his crew for a little bit. They ended up heading out, and then me and Raptor had some quality time. He was participating as well, and I was like, "Oh, let's get some pictures. Let's take some pictures and meet some people and all that." And I was not dressed up for Dapper Day by any means.
Well, but you only heard about it the night before.
Yeah, but I was enough dressed up enough, and since I was with someone who was dressed up, that I guess it was it looked like I was participating. I wouldn't agree by any means. I I wore a button-up shirt instead of the T-shirts I was usually wearing. I put on dress shoes instead of sneakers, and that's that. You know, I still had shorts on, you know.
Yep. I have so much respect for the people that do Dapper Day in Florida because, we do it here, and it's hot, and, you know, I'm not going to lie, and especially with guys in their full suits and girls in gloves and hats and whatnot, and it's hot. But Florida heat is a whole different kind of heat, and I have so much respect for the people that get all dressed up and go to Dapper Day in Florida.
Oh, it's amazing. No, and it was miserable. It was the whole this whole trip. I'm leaving it out because I had such a good time. I didn't care, but the weather was miserable. It was like as soon as I crossed the border to Florida, I walked into an oven and I never left until I drove out of it.
it's more like you swam into an oven.
Yes, sure. it was definitely miserable out there, and everyone was rocking it hard though. They were doing their thing. That was fun. We took a lot of pictures of people, and Raptor thought it was a recurring thing. He wanted to hop in all the pictures that I took of all these people. So whenever I post those, which should be soon, it'd be pretty amusing seeing all of those, him in all of them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's quite a character. So yeah, and while we were there, I did get to do one of my favorite rides, of course. Which was the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
Yay.
Which that's always a great time.
One of my favorites.
So after that, we went to back to Philip's hotel room where we did the interview. Where I was interviewed for Dark Side of Disney. And also at the same time, I interviewed Philip and his crew for the podcast. So both those things are happening simultaneously. So very soon, you podcast listeners are going to hear all of that.
Which is so cool. I'm super excited. Like, super excited about that.
Yeah. That's the real... And then it's kind of like a little tease of what's going to be in the documentary. And when the documentary comes out next year, obviously just bits and pieces of that will actually be in the documentary.
But, yeah, I think that's really cool. Obviously, I have a vested interest in Creepy Kingdom because, you know, you're my friend, and I love this show, and I have a very vested interest in the documentary because I was a part of it.
Right.
So I'm super happy that, like, you know, those two things got to come together, and we're going to get to see both sides of it. I think that's really neat.
Yeah, it was Philip's idea. I'll give him props for that. but it was fun. It was definitely a lot of fun to do that. And, you know, I basically started off interviewing him, and then he flipped it and started interviewing me, and I got to kind of talk about why I started the podcast and what it means to me, and it's stuff I never really talked about on the show before, so it's pretty cool, you know. I mean, I probably wouldn't have chosen that as a show topic, you know, like why I started the podcast, but it's cool when someone else asks me about it, you know. So
yeah, that's rad.
So it was cool. At this, we wrapped up, I think it was about 5:15, 5:30, and this was my last multi-park day at Walt Disney World, because my last day, I only had a ticket to Mickey's Not So Scary Part. Can't talk. Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, which only gets you into Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, I hadn't been to Animal Kingdom at all, and it was closing at 6 o'clock. And it was about 5:15, and I was at the Dolphin Hotel.
That's a trek.
So.
That's a trek. Wow.
And I had to ride Expedition Everest before.
Because it's like a sin not to.
Yeah. And I hightailed it over there, and it was you know, I ran to my car, and the parking lot for the Dolphin was like being worked on, so you had to like walk like way far away to get to the car. I'm driving over there, speeding through through the Walt Disney World property, running to the entrance of Animal Kingdom. I got to the entrance of Animal Kingdom looking at, actually I checked in all this stuff at 5:51.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy that took my ticket is like, you know we're about to close, right?
And you were like, yes, but I have to ride Everest.
I was just like, it's my last day, I gotta get to Everest. And he's like, go! Get there before 6. And let me tell you something, and I have it all checked in here, so I know I have the times. I made it to Expedition Everest at 5:57. I walked from the entrance of Animal Kingdom to Expedition Everest in 6 minutes. That's pretty impressive.
That's impressive normally, but then you got to add in the heat. You got to add in that you've already had a full day.
Yeah.
Like bobbing and weaving through strollers and people. Yeah. And you're going against the crowd because the park
Everyone's leaving. Yeah, I know. I was going against the grain for sure.
Man, where was Philip? We should have had him film that.
That was a personal triumph for me. But I made it. I got in line. It was totally worth it. I love that ride so much.
Me too. Oh my God, me too. Was the Yeti working?
No, the Yeti has been not working for a long time. Uh-oh. It's probably not coming back until they could have the ride be down for a while, which is probably when Avatar opens.
Totally.
That's the theory of everyone has, and it makes sense to me. So, because they'd have to close the ride to fix the Yeti.
Yeah.
But
we've been on it once that it was working, one time.
I've never experienced it working, actually.
Really?
Yeah, and
yeah.
I was talking about this. It might have been on the recording. I don't know. I was talking to Annie, though. I don't know. I never know what's on a podcast and what's not when I talk to my other podcasting friends. And even though the Yeti is not working, riding by such a massive thing that's coming at you, it actually still gives me chills. Like,
it's still cool.
If that thing was like moving at me, that would really freak me out. Because what it does, it essentially comes down and swipes at you, and it's probably just out of hand's reach if you put your hands up. Like, that's how close it is to swiping at you. And it's also, I'm sorry, go ahead.
The ride is just amazing.
Oh, yeah, like, the actual ride is actually a fun ride.
Whether it's working or not, it's such a good ride.
It's one of the best roller coasters at Walt Disney World, if not the best one. Just as a ride experience, it's so smooth and it's like it's such fun drops and the going backwards and all that stuff. It is obviously a descendant of the Matterhorn. It was, you know, like, and it's like Matterhorn times 10, really.
Right, like, and Everest is my favorite roller coaster, not just at Disney World. But it's my favorite roller coaster of any park anywhere that I've ever been on.
Wow. Well,
whether the Yeti is working or not, I love that ride. And it's funny that you mentioned the Matterhorn because I hate the Matterhorn. That ride hurts me. I shouldn't even say that. That ride hates me. I get hurt every time I ride it. It's ridiculous.
I always liked the Matterhorn growing up. I have yet to experience the new ride vehicles, which I hear are very uncomfortable. So.
Yes. I had to try it. They had new ride vehicles. I had to try it. No, I still got hurt. But no, so I totally understand the whole getting to Animal Kingdom at closing and having to ride that ride. I'm down.
Yeah, that was fun. For sure. I got there. So after that, I headed back to Epcot, and... Again, this is my last multi-park day, so I had to hit Maelstrom. And so I waited 45 minutes in line. I hadn't been on it in a long time, and you know, a very long time. And I didn't really remember that much about it. And so it was almost like it was a new ride. That's how long ago I'd been on the ride. And it was...
Ye are not the first to come this way.
Nope, I was almost the last, though. No, it was, I think the last time I was on it was 2009, so it wasn't very recently. And, you know, it was one of those things where I got on the ride and I'm experiencing it. And as time goes on, I'm like, okay, so this, I mean, it's mildly amusing, you know, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Going backwards is different for so long when you, you know, I don't know. I don't have big affection towards it. I'm not. I was like, I wrote it. I'm good. Goodbye. It's been real.
Yep.
You know, I had fun writing it in the past. I even had fun this time. But you know, I'm totally good with it. R.I.P. Maelstrom. That's all I got to say about it. You know, I'm not gonna say I don't care at all. But I'm not like super sad. I'm kind of neutral about it. I guess that's all I have to say.
I am too. I guess I am. And of course, you know, I I'm not someone that gets upset when they change things at Disney parks because progress is progress, you know? Mm-hmm. And I know you don't do the what would Walt say, but he did say Disneyland will never be done as long as there's imagination in the world. So.
Yeah, I know. All right, he did say that, of course.
You know, right. When they decide that something needs to be changed, it's their company, and I will just roll with it. There's nothing I can do about it. that's my feeling on the whole thing.
I'm not as liberal with you about that. I just literally don't care about this. I'll just say that. And mostly because I feel this way mostly about Walt Disney World because I'm like, I don't really care what gets changed or what doesn't get changed there because anything that like I have an attachment to as a child is not even there anymore. So I'm like, you know, I'm like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, the original Journey into the Imagination, you know, like those are things that I would care about being changed, I guess, right now, but they're long gone. So it's like, yeah, well,
yep,
whatever. I don't, for some other reason, I would definitely get mad about some things changing in Disneyland because I have way more of an emotional attachment to Disneyland because that's where I grew up. So I guess that's just what it comes down to. I'm like, yeah, change it. Sure. Right, whatever. I'm just glad they're actually building new stuff because, you know,
right?
Universal is cranking out new rides every year.
Yeah.
You know, but anyways, rant over. Moving on from Maelstrom. apparently, this was the last night of the performance of Off Kilter, which I don't care about them. I don't really care for that style of music in general, so I never really cared about them. So I was there the last night Off Kilter played, and the only reason I knew that was because of Twitter. Because people were tweeting about it, and I was like, oh, that's happening right where I am. Interesting. Anyways. So I left there, and I accomplished, I did the trifecta. I did Saturday ended up being a four-park day.
Yeah, I was just going to, I have been waiting for you to get to this part.
Yeah.
Because, faithful listeners, let me tell you it from my side real quick.
Okay.
I get this text message from James, and remember, he's 3 hours ahead of me over here in California. And I get this text message that he is at the Magic Kingdom and in line for the mine ride, the dwarves mine ride, which obviously we'll get to in a few minutes.
Yes.
We're talking back and forth, and I'm like, that's so cool. I haven't, you know, I can't wait to see it. I'm really excited. I haven't even been to the new Fantasyland yet. And then I realize that I haven't checked my Instagram, like, all day long. Because obviously, you know, I was out. I was busy. I was doing things. So I pop on my Instagram, I'm checking my Instagram, and a little bit of time goes by, and I text James back with, hold on a minute. Do you honestly mean to tell me? I'm like, you're in Magic Kingdom right now. And he goes, yes, I am. I said, do you honestly mean to tell me that you did all four parks and two interviews in one day? You crazy thing that I cannot say on this show.
Yeah, dude, it's going hard.
I was so impressed. I was so blown away. I have been waiting for you to get to this part of the story so that I could share my how impressed I was with your Disney day.
Thank you. And trust, I did not get a good night's sleep the night before. I assure you. I think I got back to my where I was staying at 2 a.m. the night before, and then. And whatever time, I don't know, one time that I get to Hollywood Studios, probably about 11. So, you know, still.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. I'm down for two parks in a day. You know, when we're at Disney World, I'll do two parks in a day because some of them, like Animal Kingdom, close earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But you are crazy.
I did start to obtain a blister on this day on my foot for all the walking that I did.
I'm surprised you can walk.
This part of my day actually ended up being the favorite part of my day because pretty much throughout the trip, other than this part, I was lugging around a backpack that was completely filled with cameras and all this crap because I was obviously shooting and recording audio and doing all this stuff. I had such an agenda. I'm like, got to shoot this, got to record this. We got to be here. We got to do that, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, as I was heading towards into the Magic Kingdom, at this point it was, looking at here, it was 9:30 when I got to the Magic Kingdom. They had extra magic hours for resort guests, which I was not one, till 1 a.m. But the park closed at 11. So I knew that I had about an hour and a half or and changed there. So I knew I could still get some stuff done. But I just wanted to just have fun, like 100%. I right away decided, you know what? I'm not bringing in any cameras. I'm not bringing anything with me. I mean, I had my phone. And I had, like, sandwich bags that I've been keeping my phone in, like, my just in case they get wet. That's all I had. I had my sandwich ID, my ticket, and my driver's license, and my phone in a Ziploc bag in my pocket, and that's all that I had when I went into the Magic Kingdom at 9:30. And one of the first things I wanted to do, which I was never able to do all the rest of the time, was go on Splash Mountain because, you know, I didn't want my bag of cameras to get wet. You know?
Sure, no.
I went on Splash Mountain, and it was like, I was like right in the front. It was the first time ever that I actually was in the very front. And I love Splash Mountain so much. Well, Disney World Splash Mountain is better than Disneyland's. I usually give Disneyland the up for the same attractions, but Magic Kingdom one is so good. And I don't know, something about it. I don't know. I'll write both and report back in more detail. But I like that one a lot better. And I just love the ride. And I was, you know, right in front for the big splashdown. I got soaked. And it was just like, I loved it because I was so hot, obviously, too. But I was just like, I would have been so, like, worried about my bag and my cameras if I, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I, like, cover up my bag with my hands throwing down the splash. But, I mean, I was right in the front. There was no, I wasn't getting out of that dry, you know. And after that, I really truly began to feel like a kid in a candy store.
You obviously went on Mansion again.
Yeah, you were supposed to say, I went right to Haunted Mansion. How'd you guess? You're like,
I got pictures.
Oh, you knew that? Yeah, I went right on. And mind you, this whole time, I have not even attempted to go on the new ride, the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, because since it's new, the line's always over an hour and mm-hmm. all this stuff. But I knew the park closed at 11, and I'm like, if I can get in line before 11. Oh, did it close at 11? Or it closed at midnight? I'm trying to think. I think it closed at 11 for his orcast. I really do.
Okay.
Yeah. If I can get in line before 11, then it doesn't matter because the rest of the park's closed and I won't mind waiting in line as long as it takes because I'll get to ride the ride. You know?
Like
it
won't, hell yeah.
You know, but the park will be open to resort guests, so I'll just essentially I'll be participating in the extra hours.
Magic hours. Yeah.
So that was my sneaky little plan. And I got on Haunted Mansion, and it was just, I sat there, I'm by myself, I'm going through it. I was so happy. It was just like this blissfulness of just like, I had all these exciting adventures that day, and I'm just like winding it down in one of my favorite attractions on Earth. I say one of them because my favorite attraction is Disneyland's Haunted Mansion. And
we've had this discussion.
I know. I just wanted to be specific for the listeners. And, that was fun. And then I hopped on over to Mine Train, and that's when I started texting you. I was waiting in line and really having back and forth. I got in there like right before 11. And, you know, I waited about 45 minutes for it to get on.
I want everyone to know that by this point in time, I am positive that James is, like, sleep-depped. And just riding this Disney high.
Dude, I had it at this point. I had the Disney high at this point because it was just everything was catching up to me. You know, like I said, like I was so thinking a few steps ahead, like all the things I had to do and the places I had to be, especially that day. I was hopping around so much and doing all these different things. And at that point, it was just like, I don't have to do or be anywhere. I'm just like here doing whatever, you know, and it just felt so amazing, you know.
Yep. It was pretty just from text messages. It was pretty obvious that you were just absolutely riding this end of the day Disney high. It was awesome. I could feel the excitement through my text messages.
Wow.
And I got an audio message. It sounded
I sent you. I don't remember that. What did it say?
You were in line for the mine train. I don't know how long you had already been in line for, but I was like, is it exciting? And you sent me back an audio text message of you going,
Oh, because I was so tired
and burnt out. I was like, that sounds super exciting.
that makes sense. I thought you said I sent you like a hyper message back. I was like,
no.
So briefly, Mine Train. Yes. I find it to be a fun ride. As a coaster, the swinging cars are a lot of fun actually on those bank turns. It's pretty good. I mean, it's a little shorter and a little less thrilling than Big Thunder Mountain. There's a few audio animatronic scenes.
Yeah, now it's done kind of like Radiator Springs Racers is, where it's part thrill ride, part dark ride, right?
Yeah, I feel like Radiator Springs Racers, which I don't know for sure, because I've never been on it, and I've been avoiding watching videos, is more dark ride than this. This is barely dark ride.
Okay.
There's really only two dark ride-ish parts, and really only one literal dark ride where you're actually inside and enclosed.
Is that in the mine?
Yeah. You go through the mine, and, you know, it's fun. They're singing the songs, and you know, makes you want to sing along. And that was cool. But the actual ride of it was really good. And as I'm going through, and this is kind of a spoiler, so I gotta say it though. Sorry.
All right. So if you don't want the spoiler, stop. Listen, plug your ears.
It's not really a spoiler. It's a spoiler for me at the end of the day, because honestly, I loved Snow White's Scary Adventures.
Yes.
And I was not really happy that they were closing it. But obviously, it still exists in Disneyland.
Yes, it does. I ride it every trip.
But, you know, they mentioned that the witch was going to make an appearance in the attraction. So we ride the whole thing, and then the ride ends, and you kind of, as you're waiting to unload, there's a show scene. And you're like outside of the cottage, and Snow White and the dwarves are dancing inside the cottage. And, you know, and you're kind of waiting there for like, you know, 30 seconds to a minute because they're waiting for the car in front of you to unload. And so at that point, I realized the witch was not in this. I was like, what happened to the witch? I'm like, what? And I started to get mad. Angry almost, if you will. But then as soon as you start to go, like, to move out of that area, as you pass the cottage at the front door, the witch is about to knock on the door holding the apple.
I see.
And so I was like, yay, the witch! And it is, of course, these are, like, top-notch audio animatronics. Those are brand new, and they're, you know, it looks amazing, you know, like, so the witch is there at the end. No.
Still, though, the Evil Queen is my favorite villain. And I love Snow White's Scary Adventure because you get so much of that evil, you know, her throne room and the dungeon and all of that. So I think it's cool that they kept the witch, but it's...
Well, whatever. it's a fun ride. I like it. I mean, I wasn't expecting too much out of it.
Everything I've heard says it's really good. I'm really excited to go on it.
I was pleasantly surprised. I'll say that. I wasn't thinking it was going to suck, but I wasn't really expecting that much out of it. There was a lot of hype around it. It took so long to build it. There's such build up to it. Even though the last time I was there, all of New Fantasyland was open except for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then And then there was, of course, the comparison that at the same within the month span of them opening the mine training, this is when they opened Escape from Gringotts at Universal, and that's kind of a mine ride as well. So there was a lot of comparisons. And you know, Gringotts is better than Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I will just say that. But it's a fun ride. I actually ended up riding it again the next day. So it's pretty crazy. Wow, we've gone pretty long, and I have one more day to go to. I almost feel like it should be another episode.
Right? Split it in two.
Because my last day was Mickey's Not So Scary Party.
That should be another episode.
Yeah, I think so. Because we're pretty far over on this one. And there's a lot to say about Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. So, Roxy, would you come back and talk to me about it?
Well, yeah. I would love to talk to you about it, especially because the last time I was on Creepy Kingdom, we talked about my trip to Walt Disney World for Mickey's Not So Scary Party. And so I'm super excited to hear about your trip and your experiences and how things have changed or stayed the same. I'm going to be really upset if you don't have me back for that.
I will. Oh, actually, before we wrap this up, I just realized there's one more thing that happened this night.
Okay.
You know, keep in mind, with the extra magic hours, you can't get in on any of the attractions unless you have a wristband or hotel key or whatever it is.
Yes.
Something I don't have. But the park was open until 1. So by the time I got off the attraction, I don't know, it was probably like midnight-ish or something. I don't know. And I hadn't eaten. Actually, I hadn't eaten dinner that All this craziness going on, I never stopped to eat dinner. So I was pretty hungry, even though it's like midnight. And I went to Casey's Corner, which is a hot dog place.
Yes, on Main Street.
On Main Street. And I had one of the most delicious things I've ever eaten in my life. And I posted a picture of this meal, and I wrote, "Dreams really do come true here." Which is, everything about that is absurd, you know, especially because it's like, you know, midnight or 12:30.
Eating a hot dog.
This hot dog, it was a barbecue slaw dog. First of all, it was huge. Like, I took the picture of the hot dog comparison to my cup of soda and fries so you could see how big this was. Like, I don't even know what it was. The bun was like a half loaf of bread, it looked like. It was huge. I really had trouble like eating it. Like, it was really bad. And then it was a hot dog, and they put pulled pork on top of that with coleslaw on top of that. And
God, that sounds amazing.
It was delicious. And I had a stack of napkins, you know, before I started. And I took a picture of my after, and it's just like empty, you know, hot dog dish and like 20 crumpled up dirty napkins. It was definitely a moment I was really glad I was by myself. Like, that was definitely a personal moment I was having eating that sandwich. It was very messy. Or hot dog, whatever. It was an amazing way to end an amazing day. So,
it's awesome.
So awesome. We'll revisit this. I'll talk about my last Magic Kingdom day where I went to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party.
Yay!
And that'd be good, because then we could call it that episode, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Review, instead of smushing it into this long drive. I did a lot of stuff in a small amount of time.
You really did. Yeah, no, I think doing the Mickey's as its own episode is a really good idea.
Yeah, we'll go back to that. That'd be fine. We got a whole month. So, in case for some odd reason people don't know who you are or where to find you, please enlighten the listeners.
Well, if you would like to find me, you can do so on my website, roxy-tart.com, or you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, or Elo at roxy_tart.
We need to talk about Elo, by the way. We'll do it off the show, because I'm really confused.
No problem. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/thefabulousroxytart. However, Facebook has banned me, so while you can see my page, I cannot post on it.
Can I post on it?
You can post on my page all you want. I won't be able to see it.
Okay.
No, so basically I no longer have Facebook. But please find me on Instagram or on Twitter, Roxy_Tart. Or on my website, roxy-tart.com.
Cool. And there you can hear Roxy's World podcast.
Yes, you can hear me and James kicking it and talking about things that aren't Disney-related, like Jim and the Holograms and Beverly Hills Teens.
Well, there's plenty of Disney talk on there, though.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Did you make it sound like you're going to talk Disney?
Oh, no. No, okay. I guess a better way to put it is you can hear us try to talk about things other than Disney. Somehow it always seems to come back around to Disney, though.
Right,
we're just those kind of people.
Yep. What are you going to do?
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. You know, I love it here. I love all the Creepy Kingdom listeners, and I'm really glad we got to do this again.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to me ramble on about my vacation to you.
It was fun. I felt like I was there.
Right. Thanks again to Roxy for coming on the show. And yes, the story will continue at some point during these 31 creepy days. So stay tuned. And of course, just stay tuned to the 31 creepy days of Halloween. We have an episode every day this month. It's insane. It's crazy, but we're doing it. It's really happening. And it will continue tomorrow. There's a lot of cool things coming up. I like to leave it as a surprise. Kind of like you wake up, you're like, oh, what's on this Creepy Days episode? You had no idea. And you're totally stoked because it's so awesome. But what I will tease you about is on the next full-length episode, episode 39, I will have a really awesome contest announcement. So that's just want to put that little tease in there right now. Let's see. There's something I'm going to be announcing on that show. So stay tuned. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay, and fan art pictures, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest, all you got to do is go to creepykingdom.com. Well, until next time.
Keep it creepy. I have to go now. It is midnight. Pleasant dreams.
Welcome to Creepy Kingdom, a podcast all about... Sorry, you guys. It's too ridiculous, even for me.